Blinding sun, deceptive moon, and consuming shadows. Many secrets are held beyond the sight of humanity. Wondrous and dangerous, the mysteries of Dearstan leave no one unchanged. The bold crew role players are pleased to welcome you into that perilous liminality between the mundane, the unknown, and the unknowable. Whispers from Beyond is a Mage the Awakening Chronicle following the journey of Emily Tao, played by Craig. I'm Bill, and I will be your storyteller for this dive into the mysteries of Dearstan. Class is easy enough. You're going to drive down afterwards to check out the area around the yacht club that you said was your plan between classes.
Yeah, and probably like maybe even during one of the classes, maybe like, you know, like use Google Earth or something or maps to try to figure out like what the area around is.
I mean, given the number of people who are taking notes on their laptop, nobody would be able to tell unless they were really pointedly looking at you. So that's fine. You notice it's down a little past the town. It's down one town further south than your where your master lives. Down in, I believe I just literally said it 5 seconds ago, Peniscop. And it's relatively inland as much as it could be. One side of Peniscop touches the river coming south of Bangor, and this little yacht club is on the eastern side instead, in a bit of a bay that heads further south, both of them hitting the sea near where Dearstan and such are. So the train track, of course, goes along the west where the river is, and then you're driving down, so you don't have to, you know, find some kind of a ride once you get there east to the actual yacht club itself on that sheltered large cove area.
Yeah, and I think Emily's plan is to just kind of like, you know, put on a winter coat because it's probably pretty cool over here, and just kind of, you know, walk around and pretend to be like looking at the boats and like taking pictures of the water for like some, you know, like do the artsy girl stick to blend it a bit.
That works perfectly well. There's a bridge that you won't find, of course, on our regular maps that exist in this world, going across between Peniscob and the Brooksville area as a way of getting a little quicker down to Dearstan there. The train takes it as well. And the marina is relatively near this bridge with a decent little bit of passage over it. It's a slightly narrower spot, but you know that the water is deeper than would be expected.
I'm going to, from a distance, it looks like I'm just like some girl just staring thoughtfully at the water, but I think I'm going to first use like the death sight, just because like if I was some sort of like as my master would say, someone who wants a body to disappear, this might be a good spot for it.
Yeah, it's certainly not as good as the Atlantic itself, but it's probably decent enough for somebody who is feeling lazy. So my suggestion would be that you have both intelligence and investigation, and this would be a good place to combine them. What would you say?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know like what sort of spell would be knowing, but like some sort of like Jay feels very comfortable with just like mage sight tell me things, but like knowing magic is something that she's been trying to work on, and basically I'm not sure how to like flavor this other than to, you know, roll the dice, but maybe just whispering into the water to like, hey, water, give up your secrets sort of thing.
So technically this would provoke you paradox potentially, because you're going to have to go one over your spell control, but that's fine. You got 3 dice for this and potentially 2 reach, because I'd say detect corpse would be a knowing spell, okay, which is a 1-dot death spell.
Yeah, that sounds like something I could try.
You got 2 reach on it. 1 reach would be to make this into an instant cast instead of a 3-hour cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to be there for all day.
And your other reach, I would say, might be to go for advanced scale. So advanced scale turns it from like within arm's reach of yourself without any penalties to the equivalent of, say, a large house worth of space or a building worth of space, you know? Not quite warehouse level, but it gives you like a couple dozen yards around you.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
And if you take any dice penalties off that, you could increase the scale.
So it's intelligence and investigation.
Intelligence and investigation will give you an area to try and do the spell in, I would say.
Okay.
And then we can construct the spell. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's see how well I do on just like the reconnoiter part first.
Yeah, and if you don't feel confident in your results, you might have to try a much wider scale spell.
Ends always explode?
That's what we've been saying all night, but if you keep asking.
Yeah, no, I guess I always get surprised when I actually have tens show up. That's two successes.
Two successes? All right. You notice that there are a couple very small islands, things that you're not certain if they would be there all the time with the tide going in and out to the east of the docks area. But to the west, towards the ocean, you can see that even when the tide is lower, the water stays relatively deep. And it could be that something dropped there is slightly more likely to either wash out to sea or at least not be revealed when the water line gets low.
Yeah, because I'm midday. This is not the lowest that this tide is going to go. So I'm going to go out towards the other direction and start my spell over there.
All right. Yeah. This area is somewhat wooded, grassy area. You know, it's not really very, very urban. You actually, this yacht club was hidden behind a tiny little housing development. So you make your way basically along the coast and it's like, okay, I just left the official part and now I'm in people's backyard. Let's see how well I can pull this off without being too suspicious.
It's okay. I'm a pretty college girl with a phone camera. It's for art. Alrighty. So for the detect corpse spell,
you've got a base of three dice.
Yep.
If you can give me some proper yantras, you can probably get, you know, two or three more dice without any trouble for that. And then if you want to start expanding your range to be more than, you know, a couple dozen yards from the shore, we just would take two dice off of your total. So basically, you probably want to build up enough yantras to cancel out two more dice worth of adding in.
Okay, so
at a minimum.
I could high speech one, and I want to use my hammer sort of like a commanding rod of authority symbol type thing.
All right. That sounds fine with me. That would basically give you your two dice to cancel out the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, this generates one die of paradox because you're going over your spell control, but you're still within your reach limits.
Mm-hmm.
Your hammer, when you're using it in the magic, negates two dice of paradox. So you have a chance die, which I got to roll for first, because if I get successes, technically it pulls dice off your pool. Nothing on my chance die.
Okay, so am I at five or four then?
You are at three dice, because you got two more.
Yeah, okay, and then you just covered the penalties.
Then you lost them, exactly.
Alrighty. Three dice. Three dice is usually one success, so I don't think I'm gonna risk any, because I need at least one.
No willpower for three more?
Well, considering I didn't get any successes.
I will let you try one more time. It's technically at a minus one for frustration, but if you throw in a willpower, it'll become plus two, and I get to roll paradox again first. I got a 10 on the paradox chance die.
All right, so spending willpower.
Yep, well, for spending willpower, you're going to have plus two dice on the spell, but before that, you did trigger a paradox. I presume that you're absorbing the paradox as we talked about that?
Yes, because my hammer can do two of them.
Right, that's why I had a chance die only. The chance die still came up with a 10, but it didn't give me a 10 on the reroll.
Okay.
So that means you have 1 point of paradox. To absorb it, you roll your wisdom.
Okay.
If you get any successes, they cancel out one of my paradox successes. So you only need one. And that turns it into a resistant level of bashing damage, which means you can't heal it with magic.
All right.
But it also means no paradox happens.
So I'm rolling wisdom 8 because I haven't done a whole lot of stupid yet. So I do that first. That is a lot of ones, but there is a 0 on there. So
you only needed one success. You take your level of bashing. Bashing does heal in 15 minutes, but you can't heal it with magic.
Okay. So, all right, I basically take a shot of paradox in the face.
Mm-hmm, but you've managed to absorb it, so you're not going to have any more trouble now.
So I feel like I cut it close, but I do need this to succeed. So now I'm spending my willpower to get, was it 2 more dice?
3 normally, but you have a 1 die penalty, so 2 yeah. dice.
Okay, so now I'm looking at a dice pool of 5.
Alrighty.
Hey, that's better. Now let's see if those 2 explode. So that's 3 plus 1, 4. That's better.
That's a lot better. So with 4, this thing's going to last you for 4 turns. You're on an advanced scale. Scale, unfortunately, cannot be what the successes go for. They're either potency or duration. This is more of a duration spell than a potency spell. But it means that you actually have a little time to pay attention to where things are going. And you cast your detect corpse spell. And you realize that roughly in the middle of the channel, there's either some or all of a corpse. So a good, 50 yards out from the shore and down.
How far down do I think it might be?
Well, given that you have a pretty nice spell going in a couple turns, you're sure that the water's at least 40 feet deep there? And it's March.
Oh, great. So what I'm going to do is the artsy thing and bring up my camera on my phone, but I'm gonna put a pen or something in front of it to act as almost like a crosshairs or but just like a pointer, and I'm just gonna line up and take a picture with like a little pen to indicate where I think the corpse might be and just snap some pictures just so I can retain that information.
That is totally fine. If you wanted to and didn't think about whether or not somebody might look up your account later, you could always even drop a pin on your map application on your phone.
Well, yeah, I know about where it is, but I want to be able to find where, like, I feel like this is like something that Emily would think of, because she's been walking around with the camera anyways. But I think I would know this area by now, especially if I've been around taking pictures of it.
All right, let's call that a go then. You got yourself some pictures.
Okay, so I'm just looking around. Other than this being there's like a residential area around here, and I think I know where a body is. I'm not sure what I should do, because I can't just call the cops and say, I think there's a body there, because that would raise some red flags.
Oh, it really would. But on the bright side, I will let you roll a wits and streetwise roll right now, if that makes you feel any better.
Right. All right. Am I penalized at all? This is just a skill roll.
It's just a skill roll. I just feel like that's the combination that really kind of applies right now more than anything else. Actually, no. Wits and Composure applies even more than Wits and Streetwise. I'm sorry. I got to remember my correct dice pools for some of these things.
Well, that's 4 successes then.
All right, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You got 4 successes and you got an unmistakable feeling of you're starting to feel a bit watched. Now, none of the houses are really that close, but when you realize you're feeling a tiny bit watched and glance a tiny bit, you notice like a couple hundred yards, it feels like, out, because these are relatively richer area, relatively spread out. There's someone had gone out on the back deck or back patio or something, you can't tell from this distance of his house, for a smoke, and that person seems to be looking your way.
How far away is this person?
We're talking like 100 yards.
Oh, so fairly close.
Yeah, just a football pitch.
So, yeah, I'm just, I just look up, smile, and just kind of do a wave, and then I'll just pull up my phone and just pretend to be, you know, a normal 19-year-old girl.
Well, I mean, you already had your phone out, so that isn't too hard.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just going to smile and just, like, walk around, like, I'm just, like, enjoying the pretty scenery.
Awesome. Now, this is going to be a good presence and expression, I guess, would be good for acting, to be convincing.
Oh, that's 4 dice. I can do this. I got a success. Nothing to see here.
Okay. I mean, whoever it is doesn't quite look away, but maybe they also like looking at college girls. Who knows?
I'll look up and smile.
You get a little bit of a wave. It's definitely like, looks like someone almost closer to middle age.
I'll lower my head sheepishly and then just like, get out of here.
Okay. And you head out just in time to be almost late for your next class. Coming in right at the buzzer.
But coming in there.
It's a good thing she doesn't like schedule more than 2 classes on a given day.
Yeah. I mean, it's community college, so just try to knock out those gen eds right now.
Exactly. You survive your classes, and that leaves you with 2 things left on the plate.
Yeah. I assume
yeah.
I assume she got back to me about, oh, yeah, sure, early dinner's fine.
Yeah, she's going to let you get away with, she's going to do things as early as she can manage. But your mom's got a day job, too, so there's only so early she can pull it off. So yeah. Basically, she's like, if you want it really early, you start dinner.
Yeah. So just timing it out, Jess wants to be there at 8, she said.
Jess wanted to be there at 8.
So
that, and your mother won't get home until like almost 6.
Okay.
So you want dinner to be happen with her earlier than that.
Yeah. So
you're going to have to like go to her house, make her dinner, and then have dinner on the table when she shows up.
Yeah, I that's pretty much how it's going to have to be, because Emily's going to have to still get ready. I think Emily's going to go to like a grocery store and buy one of those like pre-packaged dinners that you can just pop in the oven, and it looks really fancy, and she'll just like transfer it on the plate. But she's also going to text Jess to see if she can, you know, pick out something suitable for her to wear, so after dinner she could just zip back home and get Jess, because, well, she's the one of the 2 with the car, so Emily thinks she's driving.
That is probably fair. So you got the food in the oven, you take it out like maybe barely before your mom opens up the door. Yeah. She's got like a small 2-bedroom house just outside of Bangor and like older area of town, basically.
Yeah, probably like the main one that she lives in, and the one that used to be my room, but it's now kind of turning into like a crafts room / storage, but there might still be a bed underneath all them unfolded clothes.
Pretty much. It's got like a half dozen plastic totes in it that have her stuff in them for her crafts. One of them is full of the yarn that she uses. One of them is full of the yarn that she doesn't use. One of them is full of fabric. One of them is full of even more older fabric and so on and so forth.
Don't forget the scrap yarn and fabric, because you can't just throw it away.
Nope. Especially not when you grew up saving every last piece.
Yeah. So,
and like, you realize that this stuff was all probably sitting in the attic, getting forgotten, and now it's sitting in your room, being slightly less forgotten.
Yeah, and probably has like that attic smell to all the clothes and stuff. But
oh no, plastic totes actually are pretty good against that kind of thing. Your mom thinks a bit.
Yeah. So.
It all smells like plastic, it said.
I'm quickly trying to discard the like the aluminum cooking sheets that the dinners came in, and like trying to arrange like the green beans, thumbnail potatoes, and it's like probably some crab stuff, salmon or something that you get from the grocery store, and make it look all fancy, and probably like trying to look around the mom's house to see if there's like anything drinkable, because like they're not gonna let her buy wine.
No, I mean, your mom does have a couple bottles of wine that are in the back of the cabinet above the fridge, but she also, you know, has like a standard collection of like juice and soft drink and stuff like that available too.
Yeah. So yeah, Emily's has basically just finished cooking when her mom arrives. And oh, hi, Mom.
Hi, Emily. Well, you really did start early. Did you have tea ready?
No, I just tried to, pack in as much as I can in a day.
That's fine. Well, she holds up, like, a jumbo iced coffee that's 3/4 full. And she's like, I didn't know if you had finally joined the Java train yet, but she, like, takes a big gulp on that. It is the only way to get through sometimes.
Yeah. I think Emily's quite the Duncan girl.
She is a basic New Englander at heart.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In New England, you drink iced coffee in the middle of the winter and wonder why it's so warm.
Yeah.
So your mom sits down at the table with you. The food comes out. She babbles kind of on about some of the stuff in her day. Turns out the big news about your uncle was that he recently got promoted back in Michigan, so he was going to be able to come out here with the cousins like in the early summer, and she wanted to make sure you were available and not being too busy with your college stuff when they came out.
Oh yeah, this is my dad's brother, probably then.
Yeah, and if your grandmother was in good shape, she was going to come out for the trip too.
Oh, that'd be great to see them all again. It's been a while.
Yeah, I thought you'd be excited about that. It's been so long since I got to see anyone from your father's side of the family.
Yeah, I mean, does grandma still send you stuff too, or just me?
Oh, I still get things. I mean, it only feels like last week she sent me this new, think of some kind of a new curry powder she made.
Oh, all I got was the jelly last week.
She probably doesn't expect you to do as much cooking in your apartment.
Yeah, I mean, I did a great job at this. And like, I mean, out of character, like just shoving something pre-made in the oven is not necessarily make you a great chef, but Emily's quite proud of it. Although it probably cost her quite a bit.
And we were both aware that her mom almost certainly knows and pretends she doesn't know for her daughter's sake.
Yeah. She's probably trying to make it all fancy, like put the good silverware on top of the paper towels ripped right from the roll, and like wine glasses out there, even though her mom's already drinking iced coffee, and she's probably not going to let her teenage daughter just imbibe in wine before driving.
No. She literally, because you didn't end up making any tea, just pours you a glass of like grape juice or something like that.
Yeah.
Not the fermented kind, the regular kind.
I think Emily makes a joke drinking it like the grape juice out of a wine glass with her pinky out or something.
Yep. And your mother laughs about that too a bit and seems genuinely happy to have you over. Asks you way too many questions about how your classes are going and how your roommate's going. And do you have a boyfriend yet?
Oh, you know me. I'm way too busy for any of those things. I think Emily might have had a boyfriend like in high school, but they probably like split up when they went to different colleges or something. But I don't think it was like anything super serious.
Well, then I'm going to have to introduce you to this guy, Spencer, from my work. He's just barely out of college, and I think he'll be like a really good match for you. And you really need someone in your life, Emily.
Mama.
What? He's cute. He's not that much older than you.
Well, if you like him, what's wrong with him?
Nothing's wrong with him. Nothing's wrong with him at all. He's just way too single. And in about 5 years, you're going to make me a grandmother. And I want to make sure that you have somebody who's not going to be obnoxious.
5 years, Mom. I'm not you.
Exactly. 5 years, which, you know, you need to get time to get used to him first and then make sure he asks you at the right time. And I know he's paid well enough that he'll be able to get you something decent for your finger.
I think I just start babbling in like Hmong, and like mom never learned it, and she probably hates it when I do that. But yeah, I think this is also sort of a bit that we do sometimes when we're together.
Yeah, she only has the one kid after all, and you know that she wanted more, but never moved past your father either.
Mm. Yeah,
she jokes that she's going to date this person from work or that person from work once in a while, or that she's met someone. But you know that for all this bluff and bravado, she's never even gone on a single date since your father passed.
Yeah, and I think I call her out on it every once in a while. But no, it's been a while, like at least probably a week or two since I've seen her. So it's not due time for that conversation again. But I think I start talking to her how where like I think I might have actually decided on a major for next year,
and that stops her cold and gets her bright focused on you. What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I've been I signed it up for some more, you know, the classic STEM classes for this year. And I've been really getting into this sort of like mechanics thing. And I don't know, maybe some sort of like physical science or mechanical engineering might be something cool. You know, give lots of scholarships for women in STEM these days.
Oh, yeah. And they've been really like hyping up the Dearson Coastal for the engineering degrees there.
Oh, you got to see this. And I'm flipping through my phone, and I pull up this random picture from the underside of my car, and I show her. I'm like, do you see that?
It's metal and it's squiggly.
Yeah, but what do you notice? And it's just the underside of my car.
It's cleaner than the stuff around it.
That, Mama, is a brand new drivetrain. Guess who did that?
Was that you?
And like I get this big smile all over my face.
I mean, that's mechanic stuff, but if you're an engineer, you could design those. And like then she's back to excited.
Yeah, I think we have like the squee girl moment together. I, you know, found something I'm good at. I don't know, it's just like it kind of just makes sense, you know?
Well then definitely, yeah, go with it. Don't lose a chance to do something that you can be amazing at.
I don't know if it's amazing.
Well, I can't do cars. I can only do paralegal. You can do cars. Cars, therefore, are clearly you're amazing.
And I think Emily's just kind of smiling because, like, this is kind of like one of the reasons why she definitely wanted to have the dinner with her mom, because, well, her mom is like her best friend too, so.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time with it only being the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know about how your mom had once upon a time dreamt of getting to be a lawyer and just settled for being a paralegal because that's all she could afford when it became single income, can't go back to school.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. You know the sacrifices your mom's made for you. And occasionally, whenever you frustrate her, she really doesn't let you forget it. But most of the time, it just stays somewhere quiet in the background. But you know from when she's in a bad mood. And as impatient as she is to be a grandmother, she's not going to try and make you pay a price that she had to pay if she doesn't need to.
Yeah. And I think we switch back to some more mundane conversations for a bit. But then I think at some point Emily starts like clandestinely like checking her phone to find the time.
Oh, right. Yeah. You said you had some plans with Jessica. Go ahead. Don't make me let you be late. You can only be in college once. Well, you can only be in college and young once.
Yeah. I mean, you're not too old, Mom.
I'm going to keep saying that every year when I turn 35 again.
Emily kind of giggles as like they're both kind of like standing up at this point. She says, I do have this, maybe next week or something or later. It's not for a bit, but they're doing this like heritage thing at the college. Maybe you can help me do one of those like big white costume things, like, you know, like grandma had in her wedding picture.
I'll see what about in the fabric. Maybe we got something that'll work for that.
Yeah, I kind of like go through my phone and show her some pictures of what Che is considering for her superhero costume, but Emily's pitching it as a like some sort of cultural fair prop or whatever.
And your mom looks at it and she looks a little impressed and she's like, yeah, I'll look into that. I'll see if I can find any other pictures that might help and your dad's photo albums.
Excellent. Yeah, I know it's just some silly thing, but like, you know, like the colleges look at stuff like this, especially if I want to, you know, keep going in school.
Definitely. She nods at that. Yeah, I will see what I can find.
Oh, thanks, Mom. And I kind of like give her one of those like quick side hugs before like checking the phone again and see if like,
And she pulls you in because she's not letting you get away with just that before you head off.
Yeah. Like I've doing like the struggle because I can't quite see my phone while she's doing this.
And she lets go of you and says, yeah, don't make your friend wait too long and don't stay up too late.
Oh,
you wait. You're in college. You're going to stay up too late anyway. She kind of sighs and grumbles to yourself, but don't drink.
Of course not.
I'm not bailing you out. Wait till you're 21 at least. You only get your one glass of wine at holidays here until then.
And Emily just smiles. Oh, you know me, Mom.
She smiles back and she probably doesn't know you as well as she thinks, or she knows you too well, but has to fake otherwise. You don't know which.
Yeah. Did Jess get back to me about finding me an outfit? Because I think I'm texting, say, running home from Mom's, don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, you got to text that says, I got you. You're set.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see what she picked out. But yeah, I think I just drive right back to the apartment again.
All right, you get there and she like, Jess is already made up with, you know, the full makeup, the full tight dress, outfit, everything. Like she's expecting to get all the attention at the club. And anyone who's not paying attention to her is either blind or dislikes women. And yeah. Brings you into her room briefly. And you're like, I don't remember there being that much soundproofing before. And whatever.
Jess, when did you get a chaise lounge in here?
I wanted to be more comfortable, okay? And opens her closet. You can see that she not only has like her computer turned off right now, but seems to be paranoid enough that she has a sheet over the monitor and the camera.
Yeah, no, cybersecurity is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Opens her closet and pulls out a little black dress. You can hear the trademark symbol coming in after the words little black dress in the back of your mind, because it is little. She knows you're a small person compared to some, but this feels like it would be tight even on you.
And I look at the dress, I look back at her, and I'm like,
it stretches.
Jessica.
Yeah.
It's a club. I do not have the boobs for this.
Yeah, but it stretches. So it unstretches too. You don't have to look like me for it to fit you.
I grab
And it's longer on you than me. I mean, it might even go somewhere on your thigh.
I grab the hanger and like go off into the bathroom and I guess put it on. It's just like it's almost like wearing someone else's skin for a bit.
Well, it is certainly wearing someone else's clothes. She knows you don't wear club stuff on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to like pull it down and make it a bit longer and just like, you know, pushing up in some places and just like.
And while you're fiddling around, she runs in briefly, tosses you a set of your tights and says, look, if you're going to be that uncomfortable.
Like, do the tights go with it?
They can go with it well enough, but I mean, it's at least something on that portion of your skin where otherwise, well, only college girls have that much of their legs out in the winter.
I don't know.
I mean, I think you're probably going to get more attention without it, but if you're that uncomfortable, put them on. It's fine.
Why don't I just bring them along just in case it gets cold or something?
That's more like it. She smiles and like drags you off for the club.
I look at the clock and realize I don't really have a whole lot of time to get going.
She starts to drag you in. Actually, she just stops, drags you back to the bathroom and insists that you need more makeup for this and better makeup for this. And you can't look like you looked all day and so on and so forth. And
question, I did take some bashing damage from Paradox. Does that leave a mark?
You heal up by this point in time because it's been several hours and bashing damage heals quickly.
Okay, but it's not like I have a giant bruise or something.
No, I mean, you have a slightly odd bruise on your stomach that feels almost tender, but the damage itself is gone.
Okay.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact you also have striking looks already that you'd probably have to take even longer to get you to where she's trying to get you for a club.
Yeah, no, I basically like, okay, blank canvas, just do what you need to so we can get going. And she probably shoves me back in and say, oh, you definitely missed a spot in your legs there or whatever. So I'm like, Jess, if you want to go, we got to go. But it's like, no, Razor.
Yeah, she insists on doing more for your appearance than you generally attempt to do.
Yeah.
Before heading out there. And you guys do get to go in the club technically half an hour before the club is open because she's there with the band when they're setting up their stuff for the show later. And she's really, really flirting with the singer a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I have high empathy. It does seem like she's interested in him for more than just the music.
Mm-hmm, but she also flirts a little bit with the DJ, but less seriously.
But the DJ is the one who got us in?
The DJ is the one who got you in, but she knows the band.
Mm.
In fact, you're actually certain that you've seen the drummer for the band in one of your gen ed classes.
I mean, it's not a huge college, especially for the area. So I probably, like, if Jess knows the band, I probably at least glimpse them, even if it's just like on her, like, social media or whatever at some point.
You definitely have. You've seen them before. She makes sure she reintroduces you to all of them while being just that over slightly clingy that the singer for some reason is mildly oblivious to towards him this whole time, and says, and you won't believe how much stuff she's done with her car. This girl is so smart. I bet she can totally help you out getting your drums ready and stuff, and just kind of shoves you off with the drummer. And it's, I mean, he's a nice enough guy, but he doesn't know you from anywhere or anything other than vaguely recognizing you from class also. Yeah.
So so she shoves me over to this guy and like kind of goes back to the singer, and I'm like kind of like looking at him and her, and then realizing I'm kind of stuck where I am for a moment, because he can't just like, she basically have you met Ted and me.
Mm-hmm. She's totally the second person who's trying to set you up with someone random, thinking they're doing you a favor in one day. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess she does know the bad, so I'm at least being polite. So yeah, you go down before the DJ or after the DJ or with the DJ?
I mean, the DJ is kind of starting things off because we don't get to go on till 10 and they open the doors at 8.
So you just kind of like hang out till then, or?
I mean, we get some free drinks. Well, they won't give us the best drinks, but they check IDs here. He holds up his arm. You can see the bracelet on them. It's color coded. They gave you one of the same color when you came in, even though it's before opening. But mostly we get to like, they're letting us have the merch table for 2 hours before we go on, and then 1 hour after our set. And that's the big thing.
I mean, they could be more profitable, I guess, to have it on longer afterwards, but
yeah, but as it's a Thursday that they're forcing us to close up early, apparently there's some kind of a, like, city thing about how they can let the clubs run on Thursdays.
In the world of darkness, there is?
No, in the under 8, in the 18 clubs instead of the 21 clubs only.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the only thing.
Yeah.
Emily's like, the 21 clubs don't have that law.
Yeah. Emily's like, oh, cool, cool. And she's kind of like looking over like some of the equipment just because it's there. And I think she turns on the Matter site just to like, just because it's something to do.
All right. Actually, the equipment does, you know what the equipment is all made of. You understand exactly what every single material and every single instrument is, which is kind of cool and kind of different that most people would not be able to see or pull off.
Is there like a burnt out fuse or an unplugged cord that I could just kind of show off and just like, oh, here.
Actually, you notice that one of the cord for the bass that they hadn't actually started the sound check yet is going to be a dead cord. So,
I think we're just talking, and then like I go over to like, you know, like one of those folding crates that have all the cords in, and I'm just like, he's just talking at me, and I'm just rummaging through it, and I find one that's acceptable, and I just kind of switch it out without any, like, I just do it.
And he actually looks at you kind of like, huh? What?
Oh, yeah, this one's, you should just chuck this one, or you maybe clip it here and resolder.
How could you tell that?
It's Ben.
You didn't tell me you were a musician.
I'm not.
Then he looks and says, and how can you? And he's like, James, can we test this one? And the bassist comes over and tries it, and then it's dead.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
I kind of go over back by Jess and cross my arms.
And I got to figure out why I'm only coming up with J names recently. But yeah, James. There's like, okay, it's dead. Wow. Chill out at a glance. It's crazy.
Well, I saw some people, they wrap it in, I don't know, like it looked like it was bent kind of weird. And I'm just trying to make up some excuse for why I might possibly know it was dead.
You want to do a, like a manipulation
stuff? Yeah.
You got three dice for that. You might pull it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Hey! I don't know what it is with my tens today, but two successes.
Whatever you say, yeah. You actually do seem kind of convincing to them. And they actually ask you if you'll hang out like at their merch table between the sets, because they're like, you seem pretty cute and pretty smart, and I bet that people are going to come over and buy more stuff just because of you, and we'll give you like 10% of whatever we get on the merch tonight if you do it.
Cha-ching. Emily like coyly shrugs. Yeah, sure, I guess that's cool. She has no idea how to be cool, but
it still works. Your striking looks are coming up in your advantage here. I'm just kind of ruling subtly.
Yeah.
Not everything needs to be dice.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Make small talk with the band until they start letting people in.
All right. Yeah. It doesn't take that long for them to let people in. Jess tries to get you out on the dance floor, but she's aware that now apparently you're the booth babe for their merch table. So you end up spending more of the time there than out, where she gets a lot of attention, you notice. Though there are more than like a couple guys who seem like maybe they were meaning to buy something, but all they can do is flirt with you instead, really awkwardly.
Let's see. Do I pick that up?
You've got wits and empathy.
Yeah.
I think you're probably going to pick it up, but we can have you roll.
Yeah, let's roll, like, just for two successes.
Yeah, they're flirting with you kind of awkwardly, and you realize it's either you or the dress, or you and the dress.
Yeah, I think at some point I'm going to get Jess's attention at some point and say, what's going on?
They know you're hot.
What?
You know, when you're not dressing like a scrub.
I kind of just like punch her in the arm a little bit. Jessica, that's not nice, but you know, it's hard to be mean to someone when you're smiling.
Just don't bring any of them home.
And then I guffaw at that. Like,
I'm not joking. They're creepy. Some of them are creepy. I don't want them to know where we live, even if they are fun today.
I nod, and we're probably shouting over the music at this point.
Actually, you probably could get her just behind the table with you, so you could actually talk to her a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Because otherwise, you're shouting right beside the guys who are frequently standing too close for too long, and the table is a good barrier.
Yeah.
And I'll let you make a wits and composure roll after all this with a -2.
That's difficulty 8.
That is correct.
Zero successes.
With 2 less dice?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Ooh. All right. You don't notice with enough time to really see what's going on in a meaningful kind of detail, but instead you'll notice kind of that the equivalent of the last minute that you see. See someone you recognize from just the other day, that passenger from your car. She's here with this remarkably drunk guy, kind of almost half leaning on her, heading towards the door. If you'd gotten a success, you might have noticed them before they were heading out and been able to learn something, but no, now you just see that they're heading out.
Oh, shit. Is Jessica still here?
Jessica is still here. And, well, you do have ways of trying to see what's going on if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean...
You gonna turn on your mage light?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to.
All right. The club is a little more cluttered with your mage light because you see the symbolic meanings of way too much of everything.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid it actually, but
mage light gives you a -2 penalty to doing things unrelated to the information that's going on from your processing after all. But you do see her definitely there. And you see her leading this guy out, who does not look like he's got the best balance at the moment. And you see following her, looking more and more upset, is Brian.
Oh shit. Have they left the club yet?
You notice that as she's heading towards the door, she's like stops at like really near the entrance where there's a coat check, so she can grab her coat back, because it's still March cold in Maine. It's still below freezing at night, every night right now.
Yeah. Guess who's not gonna have time to grab her coat if she needs to catch up? All right. I guess I go in hot pursuit.
Okay. You rush out. You leave the merch table. You leave the roommate. You leave the band. Emily leaves the club. And Shay emerges from the door outside. You can see her on her phone. And it looks like she's pulling up a rideshare app.
I'm gonna access my phone. And I'm going to accept it. If I can.
That's going to be a wits and computer roll for you to pull off. I'm going to put a minus one on this. I'm only letting you know that it's a rideshare app because, well,
I look at it every day. It feels
right to tell you.
Yeah. I look at it every day. So wits and computer with a minus one, you said?
Yeah, because you're trying to get this going fast.
All right. That's three. I'm going to use a willpower because that would be a lot easier if I could just, you know, get them.
Definitely go for it.
Right. Well, here goes nothing. Okay, that's five successes. Oh, wait. Tens explode.
What?
Five successes.
Okay, for starters, that is an extra beat because I'm doing that on exceptionals with you.
Yay.
And we're going to say that this leads you as inspired. So, the next time she tries to do something that you might have failed a roll on, you can instead succeed at one success.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now you see which app she's going for. You log in. She goes and she's like, car under a minute away. Bing. Your phone bings.
Yeah. And of course, it's
present. And she starts looking around.
Okay, I put my phone in my pocket because, like, at this point, like because it's going off my phone, not my actual car. So she's just probably like, oh, is like the GPS like airing out or something?
So she's looking around and she sees you. And remember, these apps have a picture of who your driver is going to be.
That's
she
looks right.
Over, she sees you, and she's like, you're not in a car.
Does she seem drunk?
She seems amazingly sober.
Yeah, it's right over here. I was about to leave anyways, so I just happenstance, I guess.
I guess so. She will walk over with you to the car. The guy is stumbling a bit. And she says, I gotta get my friend back. He's had way too much tonight.
Okay, you do know that myself and any other carry ride share driver would charge more if there's an accident, correct? Just trying to make small talk.
Yeah, got a plastic bag just in case then, she says.
I start nodding.
I'll make sure he uses the bag if anything happens.
Yeah. Yeah, just trying to like kind of deflect some of the awkwardness of the not being there with a car with just some corporate talk. But yeah, no, so I guess we're walking to where my car is parked in the parking lot. And yeah, mm-hmm. Jade does no idea what she should be doing right now.
Yeah. The address comes up on your phone and it's like an hour drive away. She's asking for what looks like somewhere in Deerston.
Yep. I hit accept.
You already hit accept.
Yeah. No, I'll hit accept on the route that it will prescribe.
All right. So she gets in the car. You're in the car.
He's in the car. He's hauling a plastic bag that I probably found from the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jessica has no idea where you are.
Oh, I know.
Okay. You drive out. She's just spending a lot of the ride trying to comfort him, say it's going to be all right. And she'll make sure he's able to get a good night rest after all this.
I flick out my death sight.
Brian's there and he's miming something. And let's give you a wits and empathy to figure out what he's miming.
Alrighty.
Because, well, maybe he can speak, maybe not, but he seems to be like trying to get your attention right now that way.
Mm-hmm. This is probably not active listening. That's a success.
He looks like he's miming dropping a pill in a cup.
I kind of look at him like and just nod.
Yeah. And he looks back at you and he nods and he looks at the other guy and he looks visibly pained.
Brian or the
other guy? The other guy seems to be getting closer and closer to his sleep in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer and closer he is to sleep, the less and less attention she seems to be paying to him. And has started to just kind of play with her phone a little.
Yeah, I think I start driving towards Deerston because I don't know what else to do at this point. But I'm kind of like, I'm looking at, I think I'm flipping on and off my death sight and trying to keep it on as long as possible. But it is giving me headaches, so I have to take breaks every once in a while.
Yeah, you can only keep it on for 1 minute without spending a point of willpower.
Yeah, so I think I'm going like 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off if I can, but it's starting to, you know, accumulate.
Yeah, you have to leave it off for longer and longer periods, or you're going to have a hard time driving too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Gosh, like, has the guy passed out yet?
The guy has passed out now. You're about half an hour away from the club. Your phone beeps with a text message across the screen. Jessica, where are you? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
I bite my lip. And then I think I reach up and I turn off my phone, which may draw some attention to what's going on.
Well, your phone is your map, and your phone's also tracking you for the ride, so you're no longer getting paid.
Yeah.
But she is, let's see if she's able to notice this or not. Do a dex subterfuge to turn things off without her noticing, I'd say.
I have a route for this.
You do. But I'm meaning for the fact that the phone is no longer lit up as a map where she can see it.
Okay, yeah. Not
for the fact that you can very easily do so without your fingers, practically.
Yeah. So, let's see. Dex and what? Did you say larceny or subterfuge?
Subterfuge. Actually, you can do wits and subterfuge because you have that rote.
Mm-hmm.
So, frankly, I'm not going to worry about making you roll like... you know, a good number of dice for only one success, because you got six dice for that one, so I'm willing to say you can pull that road off at the moment, unless you want to gamble on getting exceptional.
I'm going to do it.
Oh wait, technically you have a chance of paradox at that one, so I might have to make you roll.
I got just one roll
if there's no paradox, you pull it off for the road.
I got one success.
Cool, no paradox anyway, so you got one success on the the wit subterfuge.
Yeah.
And let's see if she notices anything. It's an opposed roll here. Doesn't seem to pay attention. You are still heading south. You're in the generally the right way. You are on the The extended freeway that we have here, you're on the state road heading south. The federal highway heading south. What are you going to do now that you've turned off your GPS and all that crap?
I honestly don't know yet. I think Che is just like kind of like white knuckling it, and all like she knows she's not getting paid for this. At the very best, she's probably going to get a bad review, but it would be like his or her word versus whoever might or probably won't make the review. But she could probably just, I'm going to drive instead to a hospital.
Are you going to the nearest hospital would have been in Bangor that you left. So you'd still have to get to Dearson Hospital.
It's like, we're going to Dearson Hospital.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm incredibly nervous because I was told to explicitly avoid this place, but I think it'd be less suspicious for me to get her almost to her destination and then just make a quick veer.
That makes sense. And during one of those flicking on your mage sites, you notice that Ryan's not in the back seat. He's actually been in the front seat a little after you turned off the phone.
Oh, so he's sharing space with Clifford then.
Yeah, but it's probably less awkward for him than it would be for some people.
Yeah, being incorporeal and all.
Mm-hmm. And if he notices you looking at him, he's like, are you going to hear me if I talk? Just nod.
I could spend a mana for that to happen, correct?
The mana would let you really do so, yeah.
Like, I don't think I know any in-character ways of just... I know that... Oh, there's Speak with Dead.
Yep, which is you chancing having another spell going.
Yeah. I'm going to spend the mana.
Okay.
And I'm just going to nod to him. Because the last thing I want is, to be paradoxed while driving, which ironically would possibly solve my problem to get into a car accident.
It really could. It could solve a lot of your problems, some of them permanently.
Yeah.
No, he says.
I nod.
I saw the address. She's gone there before you turn off your phone. It's a apartment building beside one of those walk-in day patient walk-out surgical centers. She's dropped guys off here before and then left them. I'm pretty sure that's might be where she'd drop me off.
And I know this is different from just the general hospital.
Yeah, it's one of those small outpatient ones that exist places that, they're not even overnight things.
Yeah. Okay. So is it relatively close?
How are you asking him that?
No, sorry. I'm thinking my own street knowledge of Dearston.
I will let you make an intelligence and drive check. Your chauffeur will count in this case.
Okay.
I think that's the best thing I got for geography with you.
I was thinking streetwise, but it's the same pool, and this way gives me my specialty. So specialties, is that one extra die, or is that just...
One extra die, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's two successes.
It's only a mile from the hospital. It's actually further from the highway. The hospital is closer to the highway, which kind of makes sense.
Okay. I'm just going to drive to the hospital and kind of hope she doesn't notice, just gonna play cool like I'm going to the original destination, but take a serendipitous route and just kind of see if I can make it so I'm at the hospital before she notices.
Awesome. Let's do a manipulation drive. Manipulation drive. I can't think of a better one.
And I'm thinking chauffeur definitely counts for this.
It does. I mean, don't you love it? You're getting to use drive in weird ways.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got 5 dice. 3.
Yeah, beat her by 1.
Oh.
It was another opposed roll.
So
beat her by one.
So knowing that she put in a hospital address and I'm going to a hospital less than a mile away, like I'm trying to do this as much of this as I can before she notices, and I'm trying to just like maybe just, you know, pull up under the emergency and open up the door and start dragging him out to where people can see. That's my plan.
All right. You pull under the emergency and she says, this isn't where I put in.
Oh, don't worry. I'll drop you off. This is the hospital.
What? Why are we at the hospital?
It's, you put it in the Dearson Hospital.
No, I put in the, and she starts to spout off another address.
At which point I'm outside, opening up the passenger side or the back doors and just kind of trying to pull this guy out.
She's like, hey, no, this isn't the right place. Look, can you bring us to the right place instead? Yeah, it's near a hospital, but it's an apartment. Okay. It's where he lives. Look,
I start just talking loudly. It's like, hey, it's okay. I got him over here. Yeah. Can you bring the wheelchair?
All right. Let's do a presence and expression, I think.
Yeah.
To really get some attention. You going to toss any willpower on this one or not?
Definitely going to. Because I need... I've been using a lot of them lately, but I need this one to work so I can just, like, save this dude. That is 3 successes.
All right. You didn't expect someone to hear you that well, but it turns out an ambulance driver or something, or a paramedic or something, was just leaving towards a parked ambulance. You get his attention. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll help. And he, like, helps you lift this guy up, who she had been trying to keep the belt buckle on him, but you managed to like reach over him and undo it just in time for the EMT. Pick him up and he's like, what's wrong with him?
I think he had too much to drink, and I'm going to wink at him.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll have him check him out. Might need to have his stomach pumped or something. You could have saved his life.
Yeah, it's all thanks to, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, Jackie, and I'm going to kind of look at her, like, knowingly.
She looks at you, yeah, Jackie O'Hare. I'm going to let you you have a chance, Di, to have heard of this name before.
Oh my gosh, that's a Ted.
Okay, apparently the O'Hares are a relatively rich Dearston family. They're supposed to own a couple of the local casinos, and they got one of them has a seat on the city council. They've been the kind of people who occasionally get in the news because they've done something interesting and charitable, and there's that tiny, tiny bit of street rumor that maybe they're a bit corrupt because they own a casino.
Oh, I mean, that could be anything.
Exactly.
Emily's seen Ozark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it couldn't possibly be mob or anything like that. And she's like, I think I'm going to get another ride for the rest of my way home, and steps out of the car.
It's thinking of saying something clever, but I don't want to actually
draw. She holds up her phone and faces it towards you as she presses submit, and it says, it's a 1-star review. Dropped me off in the wrong place deliberately. And then you see her say, push another button, say, yeah, I'd like to make a report against one of your drivers, and start walking off muttering. Emily, what is Shay going to do about this?
This is like Emily's like worst nightmare.
It's like she has, I'm only going to be gentle and hitting this at you once, because it's something we've talked about before. It's a good thing you control the power switch if you want to.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. That seems like an appropriate thing. I'm just going to like snap my fingers and like, oh no, the call got disconnected.
All right, you got 5, 1, 2, 3, 4 dice, 5 dice to do that with. without having any time to do more mantras than a little bit of occult knowledge.
One success.
I almost forgot to ask, did you instinctively drop your other spell first, or is there technically the possibility of paradox from you overreaching?
There is technically that possibility of paradox for overreaching, because I didn't think of it. Emily's new. And paradox and Jirsten seems like a terrible idea, aka a hilarious idea at this point.
Roll your wisdom to absorb some paradox.
One success.
Take a level of bashing. And also, you temporarily have a paradox condition.
Mm.
Because there were two paradox successes yep. on there.
Yep.
Your paradox condition is called Abyssal Backlash. Shall I read it to you? I think I shall, just to get that wincing in on there. Because you got 3 extra dice of paradox for having done something within the bounds of Jirsten. The mage has drawn the attention of a vast abyssal intelligence called an Anukai, which seeks to corrupt your spells further. The next time you cast a spell that risks paradox, add dice to the pool equal to the number of successes earned on the roll that inflicted this condition. So you get an extra 2 dice of paradox on all paradox rolls going forward. The condition is resolved when you fully contain a paradox, which means a paradox either gets 0 successes or you absorb all the successes on it with your wisdom successfully. You'll also, however, get an arcane beat when that happens.
I mean, no risk, no reward.
On the other hand, you also technically performed an act of hubris by doing this. So you're also going to roll for wisdom degradation, and you get, hold on, let me double check how many dice. This is a, where is it? You get 5 dice. If you get at least 1 success, you're able to understand the folly of your actions properly and maintain your current wisdom of 8.
2 successes.
All right. You maintain your current wisdom of 8. You have succeeded on a wisdom check under the circumstances and gain an arcane beat for that too.
I do like how messing up gets you more XP.
Yep. So you have gained 2 arcane beats from this experience, potentially. 1 for the wisdom and another 1 when you resolve the abyssal thing. Technically, I'm just going to give you that 1 right now, but you do have that to deal with later. Just to make it a little simpler and cleaner, okay?
Alrighty.
But yeah, you gain some paradox and you suddenly feel it. You feel it seriously. And you feel like it's sticking to you and it doesn't want to go away.
Yeah, this is new. I never had this before. And I'm in Jirsten, so therefore I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm, because all of your paradox rolls in Jirsten have extra paradox dice, for starters.
I feel like it's imperative that I get out of here as quickly as I can.
Are you getting in the car and bolting, basically?
Basically, gotta get back to the club.
All right, are you going to speed?
I think so.
Let's have 1 wits and drive roll to make sure that you can get back. You're not chauffeuring anybody. You're just trying to get yourself without getting caught by a speed trap.
That's 2 successes.
All right, you're going to get back safely. Jessica's there. Technically, the band set is just nearly ending because they said that they were going to be on for like till midnight. And it's an hour to Jirsten, and you sped back. You're going to be getting there while they're disassembling, actually. And Jessica is going to be looking for you, like, and kind of in a bad mood. Emily, where did you go?
I had so there was this guy, and he mouthed the word roofied, but I don't say it out loud.
She kind of like covers her mouth like she's about to say something, then thinks slightly better. And she's like, oh my God, you brought him to like a hospital or a doctor or.
And I kind of grip my teeth and give like a nod that's like, yeah, it's bad. You don't want the story.
And then she actually looks at you. She's like, that's actually a really, probably like saved him or something. I was going to be really mad at you until you told me that. But actually, I'm kind of proud now. Because people got to actually look out for each other.
I give her a big hug.
She gives you a hug too.
And I start kind of crying a little bit because like for all Emily knows that she's probably got like a ticket. If it's not her first, it's probably like, I'm not sure like the rideshare app does like a three strikes you're out rule, but like there's nothing that's stopping Jackie from just calling up again after turning her phone back on. So it's her word or it's mine, but my phone was off. There's no tracking, and plus she's in O'Hare.
Yeah. Things get messy. I think we're going to find out how messy they get next time we get to check in on Shay. It's getting a little bit late to continue tonight, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe scene ends as like Emily's like awkwardly having to tear down a merch table where wearing this really, really skimpy dress.
Scene is definitely going to be fading to black there. The camera starting to zoom in at the exact wrong moment because this is the world of darkness. Until Jessica steps in the way, puts her hand over the camera, and the scene fades to black.
Want to find out more about the story? Join our Discord channel. The link is in the description.